Did you miss the headline and the top story of the day?
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Don't worry, because we got you covered.
This is how we do.
It's the Cattles and Rami.
Top spot.
Hi, Rami down in L.A. on vacation with his lovely girlfriend, JJ, in Rami's spot today as we give you the top spot. And it's got to be Bradley Beal. So Shams Charania earlier today tweeted out another team that's had Bradley Beal trade talks with the Wizards, the Kings. Sources told Shams and our friend Sam Amick here at Sacktown Sports. Shams continued to tweet, it's believed Beal would consider Sacramento given his no trade clause. But right now, there does not appear a clear pathway for the two sides. I stress right now, who knows if there could be down the road. There is some scuttlebutt about OG Anunoby. Looks like Toronto is likely to go young with the additions of the coaching staff that they've made. Kind of screams rebuild in Toronto.
Yeah.
So I think Anunoby is going to be available for sure.
Bob Pascal.
I think Siakam could be had. I think it all depends on how much you're willing to give up. So as far as the Beal stuff, JJ, you're totally in on Beal.
Yeah, sign me up right now, brother. And I would be one of the first people to be at the very first game and cheer and root on Bradley Beal. I think he checks all the boxes for the Sacramento Kings and what they're looking for. He's a perfect piece to fit into what De'Aaron and Domas and Keegan, you know, what they present already. And for me, Domas' best aspect and factor of his game is passing. And I think that, you know, sitting still and putting up jumpers from above the arc and beyond the arc is what Bradley does, you know, the best. And I think he helps out De'Aaron because he's a creator as well. You put the ball in his hands, he can do work. And, you know, look, I know you're a big proponent of staying within the time frame of age brackets, you know.
Yep.
He's 30 years old. He's not 24. He's not 25. But the other thing that he also is he is borderline star. And I'm looking for that. And I'm looking for someone that, you know, is going to move the needle for me. And I know, look, Kyrie could move the needle. But I actually think Bradley can move the needle and be substantial in what the Kings are trying to do next year.
It's interesting because Bradley Beal is a two, so would the idea of the framework of this trade have Kevin Huerter be sent out and Beal would replace Huerter? Would you move Huerter to the bench and try to hold on to him? I see a hard time for this deal to be put together if you're not including De'Aaron Fox or Domas. And that kind of just defeats the purpose.
Yep.
You want to add a third guy. And Bradley Beal, to me, would be the second guy. I don't think he'd be the third guy. I think Domas would slide down to the third guy. And I also think it tells us that Monty is going to do what Monty loves to do, which is look for shooting. You know, not to say that Bradley Beal is like a light the world on fire type guy throughout, you know, every single season of his career. But he, you know, he has shot. I mean, when you look back, again, he had a really down season in 21-22. He only played 40 games. I don't think he was necessarily healthy. But he is a guy that throughout his career shot 37% from three. He really was a really good three-point shooter from his rookie season through 2017-2018. And then he's hovered around 35% or so from three since then. But he is somebody that can knock a shot down. And he is also somebody that can play offense at all three levels, which I think is something that Monty is likely looking for this summer. Somebody who could bring some offensive versatility instead of just, you know, chuck and duck three ball guy. Can you create your own shot? And Bradley could do some of that. He could create some of his own shot. So we'll see. We'll see if this gets any more legs or not. But my biggest take from this, JJ, it's a big picture thing. It's not even just specifically Beal, because Beal, we're talking a lot of money. We're talking somebody, as you mentioned, who is 30 years old. Big picture stuff, the way I look at this is big. This is huge. This is very important. when you look at it from the Kings' point of view, if you're a Kings fan right now listening to us, which pretty much all of you are, number one, it tells you the team's not just happy with what they accomplished this year. They're looking to do more. They want to do more. They desire to do more. And they're going to put the effort into trying to do more. So having a team that is not content with just getting to the playoffs after missing the playoffs for 16 years is great. It also really supports, by the way, what Mike Brown has been saying. You know, Mike Brown has told us when he first met the players last year, he told them, we're going to make the playoffs. I'm not worried about the playoffs. The goal is a championship. And so I don't know if you've ever worked for a company that sends mixed messages, but if you're with the Kings right now, you've got your head coach saying the goal is a championship. And following along with that coach's thought process is the GM. The GM is willing to take a risk for talent. He's willing to go after a Bradley Beal, even though he already has two All-NBA guys on his roster. The owner, JJ, is willing to spend the money that it would take to put these three guys together. So what it tells me is that this organization, after for so long not being on the same page for more than a decade, it feels like this franchise is lock and step with each other from the top on down, where the goal is a championship, the owner's willing to spend, the GM is willing to take a swing, and the coach is willing to tell his players and be transparent with them that the championship is the goal, not just the dang playoffs.
Yeah, the caliber of expectations, Nick, has risen.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
And it seems like everyone is on the same playing field. They're all in the same room, and they all have the same idea. In many instances, I'm not saying it works all the time, but that's the start of it. You know, to win a championship, everyone has to be on the same page. We can't be writing in all the different pages of the book.
Yep.
We all have to be scribbling and coloring and drawing all on the same page to move the narrative further. And when you have conversations about all-stars, three-time all-star, all-NBA caliber guys, you know, guys that's right in the prime of their career, like a Bradley Beal, knowing what he can bring to the table, lets me know they've had other – it's you. When we watch the war room or we watch the draft room, when we watch, you know, teams – during our offseason, anytime you go, you see a bunch of sticky notes and a bunch of names on the chalkboard or yep. on the whiteboard, yep. right? That lets me know if Bradley Beal's on there, that means Pascal Siakam's probably on there. If Pascal Siakam's on there, that probably means, you know, Zach LaVine is back on the page. And so I just really love how all three of those guys that you talked about, Monty, who just got his deal this year and was extended, and Mike Brown's lock and step with Monty, that they're going for the moon, man. They believe they have the foundation in guys like De'Aaron Fox, Domas, and Keegan to really win a championship. And we haven't always seen that here.
No. And you could also say, one last note before we get to some more local news here about the A's in a minute. One more thing you could say is that Bradley Beal has a no-trade clause. Not many guys in the NBA have that. He might be the only one, if not one of a couple. And he's willing to consider to waiving his no-trade clause to come to Sacramento. So the days of guys not wanting to be here, the days of, oh, the Kings, no way am I going to go to Sacramento. No shot of that. Those days are done with to a certain extent, up to a certain level. Bradley Beal and Dame Dalla are the two guys that everybody's talking about right now. They might be the two stars that get dealt this summer.
So Miami, according to everybody.
And one of them is like, all right, I'm cool with going to Sacramento.
Ooh.
When they have options, like you said, Miami being one of them. That says a lot.
Nick, could you imagine Dame Dalla coming to Sacramento?
Jay's number one fantasy.
I could imagine it.
Oh.
I don't think it'll happen, though, because, okay. You know, him and Fox. I could imagine almost anything. Here's the latest A's news from the Nevada Independent.
Pirates.
Which slides into this top story perfectly. The governor has signed SB1. So that is the final step from a legislation process. Governor Joe Lombardo signed SB1 Thursday, according to the Nevada Independent. And Of course, this is the bill that establishes the financial package of up to $380 million. So what you have now is you've got the governor who signed off on this. The final step, which is, I don't think, going to be a hard step.
Nope.
Is the owners. The owners okay this? What is it, Kyle? 70%?
75. Oh, so 75. You need 23 of the 30 owners.
75%. So as long as you get 23 yeses out of 30 owners, the A's are Vegas bound.
You know what's funny, Nick, is do you think the Giants ownership says no?
I mean, they could. They could.
Wouldn't Maybe it be, they abstain.
Wouldn't it be interesting if they were like, no? How would that make you feel, Nick? Knowing
oh,
that they
it.
Play.
Anything that keeps them from going to Vegas just to shove it down Fisher's throat and Manfred's, I'd love it. But this is all done.
Yeah.
But the Giants are also complicit in a lot of what's happened
yeah,
here.
Yeah, exactly. The fix is in.
Right.
But all of this would not be happening if Fisher didn't know that he had the votes.
Of course.
This is all happening because it's a fait accompli on the ownership level. And he knows that. And Manfred knows it because Manfred secures the votes and then tells Fisher, you got the votes, so let's move forward. It's over. It's over.
The only question is whether or not they'd waive the relocation fee or not.
No, they shouldn't, but they are.
Oh.
The same reason why they shouldn't be given the Oakland A's, profits over the last few years. Team sharing profits.
Say, all right, hey, look, you can move to Vegas, but you owe us $380 million.
I would love to see it. Would love to see it. That's why I wanted, even if Vegas did okay, which they have, I would have loved to see them play hardball and demand John Fisher have to put some more money on
the
floor.
The city council and all that stuff in Oakland, they're talking about pushing this into the court system.
Mm-hmm. Put the tape on them.
I don't think you do that.
No.
That just makes it more painful for A's fans.
True.
Just say la vie.
Just leave. Leave the A's name.
Yeah. Fisher's going to laugh last. That's what he's going to do. Make all of his money.
Las Vegas Spiders or something.
So gross. All right. This will be fun, I think.
Dude's a pirate, man.
So the Ringer has released their top 125 NBA players. It's list season, as Rami says. And the Ringer has their top 125 list of NBA players. How did the Kings fare? And what do we think about it? 90 seconds. Text line 916-339-1140. As a Vegas resident, I will not support a team stolen from another market or John Fisher. That being said, baseball is declining in market share, and Vegas residents will most likely not support baseball, even with a smaller stadium. One can hope.
And I'll say thank you to that person.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John Fisher doesn't care because he's getting that revenue sharing money.
Man, he'll be gone within the next 2 years.
If Rami was here, I know he would want to do this, but I'll do it instead. Let's give away some Dirk's Bentley tickets.
Oh, Rami's boy.
Rami loves Dirk's Bentley.
Yeah, he is. He said he would be front row.
The Folsom Lake Honda contest line, 1-800-920-1140. 1-800-920-1140. Caller number 13. The contest line, lucky number 13, will win a pair of tickets to check out Dirk's Bentley at Harvey's Lake Tahoe. I'll be in Lake Tahoe in about 24 hours.
Attaboy.
This show's happening August 4th. So call number 13. You're the lucky listener that gets the pair of tickets to go see Dirk's Bentley, courtesy of Another Planet Entertainment. Again, hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline for your chance to win 1-800-920-1140. 1-800-920-1140. Text line 916-339-1140. No deal on Bad Heel Beal.
Wow. Man.
There's a lot there.
Yeah.
No deal on Bad Heel Beal. Kind of like it. All right, let's stick with the Kings here, JJ. The Ringer released their top 125 list of NBA players. And of course now, the postseason is over. The season is over. So this is what it's going to look like for the summer. And wanted to take a look at how the Kings fared in this. There are several Kings. There are several Kings in the top 125. Let's start with the first one, and I'm sure everybody could guess this one, although maybe not. Maybe some thought that the other guy, because you got two choices, maybe some of you thought the other guy would be the first that we mentioned here, but De'Aaron Fox, or as Mad Dog Russo called him this week, De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron?
De'Aaron Fox is at 17 on the list, JJ, 17th.
I like it.
Out of the top 125.
I like what I'm seeing. Right next to him is a bunch of runs. It was like the draft. You saw a bunch of point guards, just Donovan Mitchell, Ja Morant, De'Aaron Fox, and who was the other one I was in? Shai Gilgeous was a couple in front, Dame Lillard, Jamal Murray. They're all grouped, literally, from like 13 on to 18, all point guards. So he's in that mix. He's in, you know, some people preferably going to say I'll take Shai Gilgeous. Some people are going to say I'll take De'Aaron. Some people going to say I'll take Donovan. Some going to take Jamal Murray. Some going to take Ja Morant. They're all mixed up, but I like right where he's at, brother. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Yep. And I know some people might say, oh, well, he was, you know, an all-NBA guy, and how can you be outside of the top 15 when you went all-NBA? Well, that first, that's a year-to-year thing.
Yep.
And this list is more of a, you know, projection kind of what you think this player is at this point. And, you know, what they might end up being. There's a little bit of a mix in there with that. But injuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, would De'Aaron Fox have been All-NBA if everybody was healthy? I don't know. Would he made it, you know, All-NBA if certain dudes didn't get hurt, if certain dudes
weren't waving pistols?
Weren't waving pistols. So I'm fine with it. I'm fine with 17. So you're probably wondering where Domas is. Domas, JJ, is 20th.
Same thing. Pretty much all-NBA team, third team. He's right around that area. We talked about James Harden. No way, no how is James Harden, for me, above Domantas Sabonis. But 20, I like it. I think it's on the uptick. I went to check after you had talked about the, you know, the pointing up arrow, so to say, and the pointing down arrow on which way they're looking towards. Both Domas and De'Aaron, they're stagnant. They have no arrow next to them, so that pretty much means they're there to stay. That's kind of where they're at right now. 20 works for me. How about yourself, brother?
Yeah, I wonder how much the Warriors series might have impacted this.
Okay.
You possibly would have seen Domas somewhere in the top 15, maybe at the end of the season, the regular season. But now, you know, after the Warriors series, I do wonder if people are kind of a little hesitant to just automatically put him in the top 10, 15, somewhere in that range, right? So I have no issue with 20, though. I really don't. And here's the biggest takeaway. It's almost like the Bradley Beal conversation where we're talking about the specifics and the individuals. But big picture, JJ, this means that the Kings have two guys on their roster right now who are ranked in the top 20 across the NBA, according to The Ringer.
I love it. I mean, that means and that's why I went to look at the arrows, which way they were pointing. They didn't have an arrow next to each other, but I was very interested to see if, you know, De'Aaron and both Domas, they're young. They're not 30, and they're on the upswing to me. And it seems like, as we heard over the last week here with all the ESPN, the four-letter guys screaming the Kings, I thought maybe The Ringer, you know, Kevin O'Connor, those guys over there would show us a little more love and put us on the upswing. But I'll take the 17 and the 20.
I enjoy Kevin O'Connor's work. I think he's really good. Yeah, we're not saying this before the season tips off.
No.
We're not talking about Fox and Domas being top 20 players in the NBA. We're talking about Domas maybe hovering around 30.
30. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Fox maybe 35 to 40.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of it that way, they took a really big step this year.
Sacramento Kings steady rising and rising and
that's
rising.
Right. 100%. That's right, Perk. So you have them individually stepping forward and improving, and, of course, you had the team improvement, which was a beautiful thing. All right, let's jump to some of the others. Kevin Huerter at 73. Whatever.
Kevin Huerter.
I shrug my shoulders. I'm not going down 80 players to see where and what.
It did not end well for
him. I mean, just off the top of my head, if you said Kevin Huerter was a top 75 guy, I'd put him at 100.
Well, they put Malik Monk at 121.
I'd probably push him up a little bit further, but, you know.
Yeah.
He's coming off the bench, and that's kind of tough because a bunch of these guys are starters, too.
It's tough for me to, you know, beef about 73 and 121,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, but Monk and Huerter were pretty close to equals this year in terms of production.
Yeah, I mean, different roles, different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hot and cold. Both guys ran hot and cold. I think Monk, you know, I would say Monk probably had the better season when you consider his role with the team.
And postseason.
Finally, no Keegan Murray in the top 125.
Now, this is where I got a little action right here. Nick, I had to...
this is what gets your goat?
Yeah, I went ahead and put 124 guys to see if it was better than Keegan Murray. I made my list, but no. Look, I went straight down to the bottom and looked at who was number 125, and I was Dylan Brooks. And when I first looked at that, I was like, okay, maybe Keegan ain't top 125. But then I went up the list a few more names and seen a few other names like Herb Jones of the Pelicans.
Your guy.
Yeah, okay. He outscored and Keegan outscored and grabbed more rebounds, shot a higher percentage from the floor and 3-point line.
Keep I mean, your eyes to yourself.
Yeah, we talking diving a little deeper and we want to go into, you know, all the true analytics like Seth Partnow. Yeah, maybe you can I guess you could talk me out of that. But Keegan, in my eye, he's better, he's younger, you know, on the surface and me looking deeper, I'm taking Keegan. Kyle Lowry was in front of him. Keegan outscored him, out-rebounded him, yeah, played less minutes. Yeah. The other one for me, too, is Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Your boy.
Come on, man. Stop it. Keegan is easily better than him.
See, people might say, oh, well, is it because Keegan's a rookie? No, there were three rookies on the list.
Yes, Walker Kessler was up there.
Paolo Banchero made the list.
60.
Jalen Williams made the list. And Walker Kessler made the list. So you had three rookies.
Which is fair, because those were the top three finalists for Rookie of the Year, but Keegan's right there with him.
Yeah, you can't put Kyle Lowry and some of the other guys that JJ mentioned ahead
Come
of
Come on, Bogdan Bogdanovic. In an indirect way, they got rid of Bogdan Bogdanovic to follow and get Keegan down the road.
Yeah, that's, I mean, come on.
Herb Jones? I don't want to single out Herb Jones, but I mean, come on, dude. Better than Keegan? Dude broke a record. He's only been in the league. Stop it, man.
All right, we got the callback coming up next.
Sactown Sports.
Headlines. I'm Simone with your Sactown Sports headlines. Could Wizards All-Star Bradley Beal be dealt to the Sacramento Kings? Shams Charania and Sam Amick of The Athletic highlighted this enticing speculation this afternoon. Head to SactownSports.com right now for more information. Mirroring the very rules of baseball itself, Oakland Athletics are essentially one strike away from relocation. The disheartening count revealed itself yesterday after Nevada legislature jointly approved public funding for the Las Vegas Stadium deal to uproot the A's out of Oakland. Tampa Bay Rays beat Oakland 6-3 on Wednesday night, snapping the A's 7-game winning streak. Finally, the 123rd U.S. Open is underway at the Los Angeles Country Club. Your live leaderboard standings are provided, of course, by Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality. Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele back in the clubhouse and tied atop the leaderboard with 8-under, while the incomparable Brian Harman sits in third with 6-under and through 12. Happy Thursday. Welcome back into Cattles and Rami with Jay Johnson. Kyle, please hit that call back.
I'm going to light up these phone lines.
The phone is ringing.
And we are checking to see who's on the line.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
News, gossip, a story.
Okay, who's the next victim?
It's the callback.
On Cattles and Rami.
All right, so earlier today, Cattles and Rami, no Rami, JJ in for him as Rami enjoys Southern California this weekend.
Have to sand between the toes.
So we had Tabitha Mueller on earlier today from the Nevada Independent, and she was on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline, and we were talking about, obviously, this A's deal and the fact that the funding was passed by the Nevada State Legislature and whether or not that was surprising to Mueller. Here was her answer.
I don't think that it was a surprise that the public funding bill passed this week. I mean, we had seen a lot of discussions about it. I think it was a surprise that it had died in the regular legislative session. But as soon as the governor kind of brought it back and said this was kind of his priority for this second special session, I think it was from there it was just kind of a matter of figuring out what the team would agree to, what the lawmakers would agree to, and kind of getting it moving forward.
Now, before we move it forward, and I ask you about Tabitha's answer, I want people to get a peek behind the curtain here and what just happened. So I was setting up the sound, and I stumbled. And so what I did was I went into the talkback, and I let Kyle know that I stumbled because when I looked in through the glass, he wasn't looking at me. There wasn't the, you know, connectivity between producer and host. So I threw Kyle under the bus. Kyle quickly then threw Simone under
just
the bus.
Threw me under that Muni bus. Oh, that was
so
terrible.
So I'm waiting for Simone to somehow find a way to throw JJ under the bus, so we're all pointing fingers at each other.
No, what Simone should do is throw Christopher Laud under the bus, because Christopher Laud apparently gets mailed to the station, and she was showing me a letter that was addressed to the champ, Christopher
Laud.
It's
a nice handwritten letter. It impressed me. I'm sorry.
Simone, can you let Kyle do his job?
I derailed the whole show.
No, I'm going to take accountability for this. I should have been locked on and had the chemistry with you.
Yeah. Yep.
Can't pronounce Harmon. Now you're Harmon!
I nailed it. Two more times I nailed it. It was just a one slip of the tongue there. It was
all right,
terrible.
So Tabitha wasn't surprised that the deal got passed. I wasn't surprised. Were you surprised?
No, sir.
No.
Absolutely
come on now.
Not.
And we can update this for you.
The fix was in, Nick.
As we told you earlier in the hour, the governor has signed on for this, so it's passed. It's done. Now you need 75% of MLB owners to vote yes, and they will.
Yep.
And the A's will be in Vegas.
And the A's came out with a two-sentence
media
release.
This was like a hair across your tuchus.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is nonsense. I don't even want to. I told you, Nick, I'm trying to stay focused. I'm trying to do my job here. I'm trying to make sure I'm on point. I don't want you to get a phone call about my language, my diction. And so I'm going to be on point. Yeah, I am, man. I'm holding it in, brother.
All right. Back to Tabitha Mueller, again from the Nevada Independent on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline earlier. The $380 million of this public funding,
man.
JJ asked Tabitha, where's that coming from?
Essentially, what this deal is, it's $380 million in public financing is kind of what we're talking about here. $180 million of that is coming from the state in terms of transferable tax credits. You have some of that money also coming in the form of bonding and from the county, and then some transferable. And then just like a $25 million credit as well. And I think that what we're saying in terms of how these credits get paid back and the bonding is repaid is through tax revenue generated by the stadium. So let's say you go to the stadium and you buy a hot dog and you wear a baseball cap and you also buy a flag for the team. The taxes on those items would go to pay for the stadium, if that makes sense. And it would only affect the stadium.
So the taxes off the stuff they sell in the stadium.
Yeah. You know what haunts me about this, Nick, is kind of what I talked about when it comes to, do you support the Shield or you support the team or you support the city?
Right.
People who are A's fans are still going to wear A's gear. And if you go to the game and you buy that, that supports the situation.
Yep.
That's the tough part about it.
Yes.
It's like, look, take that. Like I said, you guys become the Las Vegas Desert Spiders, Scorpions or whatever y'all want to call yourself. Leave the A's brand here and then let's really see if that money's going to come to fruition by, people going to buy the Desert Spiders, the Las Vegas Desert Spiders baseball.
The Las Vegas 51s.
I generally don't like when teams move to different areas and keep the name.
Yes.
It's just weird to me.
Yes.
I would rather reset.
Yes.
I really would.
The Sonics Vegas, or the Thunder.
The Vegas Athletics are going to, it's just weird.
It's whack.
Yeah. And if I'm Vegas, it's your chance to have some ownership over the team, if you're Vegas as well. Because if you're in Vegas and you're a baseball fan, we heard from a Vegas resident earlier on the text line that was like, I'm not going to root for them.
Mm-mm.
Like we stole them from Oakland and John Fisher as the owner. I'm not gonna be rooting for that team.
Mm-mm.
It would have been 100% better. Sarah said this yesterday. It would have been 100% better if baseball just said, okay, we're just going to relocate you but have a whole new brand.
Yep.
Just, that's what you're going to do.
Yep.
And they, it's a debacle, man.
Leave Dave's name alone, man.
It's a debacle.
I can't even wear. Now, I guess my question, Nick, can I even rock my A's gear anymore? Because I'm not down with the team. I'm not down with the movement. I'm not down with anything.
I honestly can't tell you what to do because I've never been in that situation. I don't know how I would react if one of the New England teams, one of the Boston teams left the area.
As someone who was in that situation a few years ago, you got to make that call for yourself, Jay.
What'd you do with the Chargers?
Did you rock the LaDainian Tomlinson anymore?
I had the Junior Seau growing up, not the LaDainian Tomlinson. Uh-huh. But I am now a six-year recovering Charger fan, and I'm a happier, healthier person because of it.
So does that mean you're still wearing the clothes or not?
Oh, no. Nope. Nothing disassociated with them. Stopped rooting for them. I'm a better human being because of it.
I got you. Thank you, brother. Thank you for the knowledge.
All right. We got one more for you from Tabitha Mueller of the Nevada Independent. Here's Tabitha explaining the financing and the lawmakers' thinking.
But I think one of the things that's also interesting about this is where they're putting the stadium, they're actually not going to have to pay the property taxes on that parcel of land. I mean, in addition to that $380 million that we're talking about, there's also, I mean, a lot of money that would be paid in property taxes that is not going to go back to the county, that is not going to go to the state, right? That's just money that the team or the stadium authority will not have to pay. As for the kind of financial aspects of this, lawmakers said in the assembly yesterday that this parcel of land that it's being proposed to be put on is a very valuable piece of real estate, right? It's on the strip. It's close to the airport to a certain degree. And that's also something that they're going to have to consider when they put in the stadium and lighting and that kind of thing. But it's something else would have been built there is what the assembly members said. And so, you know, I can't say whether or not this was the best thing that will go here. I think that there's been a lot of pushback on stadium deals recently. I mean, the former governor, Steve Sisolak, said, I can't remember when, but it was a while ago, that he would not support public funding for another stadium. He did change that a couple weeks ago and went back on that statement. So, you know, I think time will tell.
Nick, time will tell.
Nick, they aren't, I mean, and I was going to say this to Tabitha, but we let her ride. They're not paying property taxes because they don't even own the land. They're renting and leasing the land.
Yeah.
9 acres, which Oakland was ready to give you 55.
Yeah, Oakland shot back, by the way, because, you know, Manfred was saying, oh, Oakland never had an offer, and
yeah.
He and Fisher are just dumping on them. The mayor spokesperson, Julie Edwards, had the response, and this was from Sarah Ravani from the San Francisco Chronicle on Twitter. Here's what the spokesperson said. Totally false. There was a very concrete proposal under discussion, and Oakland had gone above and beyond to clear hurdles, including securing funding for infrastructure, providing an environmental review, and working with other agencies to finalize approvals. The reality is the A's ownership had insisted on a multi-billion dollar 55-acre project that included a ballpark, residential, commercial, and retail space. In Las Vegas, for whatever reason, they seem satisfied with a 9-acre leased ballpark on leased land. If they had proposed a similar project in Oakland, we feel confident a new ballpark would already be under construction. Oakland showed its commitment to the A's, and that is why the A's belong in Oakland.
Mm.
So, i.e., you're full of crap, Manfred, and we all know it. The deal that you're cutting in Vegas is completely different than the deal you were asking from Oakland, and that's because you wanted to put Oakland in a spot where they would have a tough time delivering you a stadium so you could continue your plan and go down to Vegas.
Yep.
So scummy. It really is just so scummy.
I'm telling you, man, them cats, everybody that's in the town that is upper management for the Oakland A's, they have, you know, no soul, brother. Just there's nothing there. There is nothing. And we've seen the rooted in Oakland, you know, movement. We've seen, you know, Dave Cavill. I mean, this dude for the last 2 or 3 years, that's all he's been talking about.
Yeah.
That's all he's been talking about. But now we don't even see none of these guys talking now. They dropping releases, media releases, paragraphs like an English class right now.
Oh, man.
Nothing oral. No one's sitting down. No one's taking interviews. No one's answering questions. All they're doing is writing. Ghostwriting.
This seems like a cash grab.
All right. Mm. We'll wrap things up next.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and more.
This is Cattles and Rami
on Sacktown Sports.
My guy JJ is going through it right now. He's trying to stay away from all A's things. But every break, he's telling me about...
Coming with the info, huh?
Press releases and how bad Rob Manfred's press conference was. You can't get away from it, can you?
No, I can't, man. It's here. It's on my doorstep, brother. Matter of fact, it's not on my doorstep. It is knocked on... It has knocked on my door, and they are pushing in the door. I'm going to have to go, you know... Put the chair behind the doorknob at this point.
What was the year that they officially broke your fandom, where you were kind of like checking out on the franchise?
Probably about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
You lasted longer than a lot of people.
Yeah, about 2 years ago. Last year, 2 years ago, I still had season tickets. Last year, I just couldn't do it. This year, I mean, look, we could go out and have a better team than they have.
Mm.
Simone, you can pitch.
They've been hot lately.
Means nothing.
They won 7 in a row. They still had the worst record in baseball.
Means absolutely nothing.
By the way, we've been talking about Zion. We've got a couple of other stars to talk about here, especially one that went on a pod and was just totally out of pocket. But, you know, Zion, it seems like Zion might be on his way out of New Orleans if the Pelicans can get what they want and get him out of there. We had... people earlier in the week, reporters, insiders, Shams, and others talked about how the Pelicans want to move up to 3 to draft Scoot if he falls to Portland at 3. Mark Stein said that he spoke to somebody in the know and Zion could be available. Rafael Barlow came out and said Houston at 4 is looking to make a deal with that pick and Zion could be the guy. Howard Beck on Twitter.
Love Howard.
He tweeted out a little while ago. Apparently, when you look at the coaching staff of one New Orleans, Teresa Weatherspoon was on that coaching staff. And
legend.
Christian Clark reported today at NOLA News that Weatherspoon was leaving the organization, parting ways. And Howard Beck pointed out that Weatherspoon had a very close bond with Zion and was a key confidant during his long rehab. So if you're going to Brian Windhorst connect the dots with the index fingers, you could say this is the latest clue pointing towards New Orleans saying, bye-bye. See you later. We're not doing this anymore. We've had enough of you. We'll see if that is indeed what happens. All right, so Carl Anthony Towns, he went on the Pat Bev pod. And boy, did he say a lot, JJ. He said a lot on this appearance. First, we were talking about earlier in the week, I don't remember who it was. Was it Eric Pincus? I don't know. Somebody reported that Cat could be traded relatively soon. So here was Cat and Pat Bev going back and forth on those trade rumors.
Team is solid. I mean, we looked good last year. I think everyone agrees. And then, you know, future-wise, I see everyone's trying to sell my house but me.
Hey, Cat, so, I was just about to say that, man. Hey, man, what's with the people Teddy talking about? Listen.
All I'm going to say on it, the rumors are as true or as false as Minnesota makes them to be.
So this is certainly not putting out the fire, right? Because he's putting it on the team. And say, hey, look, don't ask me, ask the team. These rumors are legitimate if the team says they're legitimate, which the team's not going to come out and say that.
Never.
Legitimate. You're not going to hear anybody from the coaching staff or front office say, oh, yeah, we're trying to get rid of Cat. We're trying to get rid of this guy.
But they could leak it to the media, maybe.
Maybe. But that's not what Cat's saying. Cat's saying if it comes from them, which is not a leak, it's a, you know, you heard it from the team. Which you're not going to hear it directly from the team. I'm sure they already leaked stuff. That's what teams do. And players do it too. So it's also a kind of an indication that Cat's not really fighting to stay in Minnesota. I know he talks well about it. Said, well, we played well. Team looks good. But he's not fighting to stay. He's not saying, I don't want to leave. This better not be true. I don't want to hear my name in rumors. He's like, ask the team. So he's not really fighting back on this. I want to ask you, is he virtually untradeable to you, JJ, right now?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
I think so.
If you asked me 2 years ago, I would have been like, oh,
different.
Give him a shot. You want to talk about people making a lot of money. Different. Next year, $50 million. Year after that, 54, yeah. 58. Player option for $62 million in 2028.
Oh, my God. That's why he doesn't care.
Right.
That's why he could just say, ask the team, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make $200 million the next couple of few years.
He is he's the opposite, and we're talking about Zion. Zion, to me, still has a little bit intrigue for me, where for the right price, I'll take a shot.
I'm intrigued by Zion.
Yes.
I'm just scared to hell.
Truth.
By him as well.
Cat? I wouldn't take him on the Kings.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take him if I was a ball club and I was looking, you know, the Miamis, the Portlands. Sounds like, you know, Houston's going to be in the market for a few things. Who knows what San Antonio's looking at this moment. OKC's got a million picks. You never know what's going on that way. But teams that are kind of looking for, you know, we talked about a star, superstar, borderline, top 30 guy. A lot of people consider Cat still borderline top 30. For what he's going to make, as you heard Kyle just talk about, and I don't know if, and for good reason, let me say this. Cat in the pandemic had a horrific pandemic when it comes to personal life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this brother, yeah, he is standing tall in some things when it comes to his personal life that would have broke a lot of other people. And so, you know, I got to commend him on that. But as far as basketball-wise, on the court-wise, he doesn't really touch me as, and I know he's got the star numbers, you know. Something about him has never touched me as being, I can win a championship.
He's
significant.
He's got this level of immaturity on the floor.
And
like just
Okay.
Like he seemingly always gets wrapped up into the officiating. He's very emotional on the floor at times.
True.
To the point where it's a detriment to him and his team. He also just, he commits these stupid fouls. I don't know. He's so talented. And and obviously he believes he's very talented because listen to what else he had to say as far as his impact on the game, JJ.
I mean, I just feel like, I'm going to put it like this. I feel like when my time's up and I retire and I put the shoes up and I say, you know what, Pat? Me, the kids and the wife, we're going to head out to the sunset and enjoy life. I feel like there's going to be people who are going to say, you know, that I changed the game. And I'm going to be very appreciative of that.
That's gangster.
Everything's up for stipulation. And you know what I like to say is that no matter when this is all over, that there's going to be kids coming up saying that they're going to be able to play a different way because I played an NBA and did it a different way.
Pat Bev says gangster. That's delusional.
That's right.
Delusional.
We should be checking that home for what you have. If there's anything going on in that home.
Nobody's going to be talking about you, Cat, when you leave the game about how you changed the game.
No, you've been
nobody.
He's been in the league long enough that we would be talking about that. And right now, there's 20 other people who are overshadowing his play when it comes to changing the game. Jokic and Zion and Steph Curry and KD and so on and so forth, man. You know, look, good ball player. Again, I commend him for going through so much that he did through the pandemic personally. But as far as basketball, man, just an for me.
That's out of pocket.
Yeah, that dude.
Let's jump.
Get your money, brother.
Let's jump quickly to Dame Dalla. So there's been some back and forth about Dame within the media. Is he going to get traded? Is he going to stay? Is Portland trying to trade that third pick and keep Dame? Here was Brian Windhorst on First Take.
Will Damian Lillard be wearing a different jersey next season?
Not at the start of the season, I don't believe. As of right now, you said that they publicly haven't made it sound like they're going to trade him. Well, I can tell you that privately, the Blazers aren't interested in trading him right now either. And I have to underline right now because we are in a fluid situation.
A lot of disclaimers there. I don't believe right now things can kind of still happen. But are you already tired of this Dame Dalla stuff? Enough's enough?
Yeah, free Dame.
We've been doing this for a long time, haven't we?
Free Dame at this point.
We've been doing this for too long.
And you know what? Free Portland at this point. Like, Dame should have been a Sacramento King anyway. But
free Chauncey Billups.
You know, I mean, something got to give. Like you said, feel like this has been going on for a decade now, Nick.
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere. Because I don't think, I don't know. I just think Portland's too loyal and too married to him, and yeah, and he's also married to them. I don't see it happening.
Just retire Trailblazer and go down as the best Trailblazer to ever play.
Put a statue outside the
stadium.
Nothing
wrong with that.
All right, thanks to Simone. Thanks to Kyle as well. I'm out. I'll be back last week of June. I'm out next week as well. So
enjoy Tahoe, brother.
Thank you. Everybody be safe, be healthy, be well. JJ, thank you, my man. I'll see you soon. The show, though, in some kind of semblance. Rami's out on Tuesday, too. So Jason Ross and JJ on Tuesday. But tomorrow, who's in tomorrow?
Whitey, I believe. Whitey Gleason.
Whitey J and me.
All right. There so go. There you have it. That's tomorrow. It's Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports. Who we blaming for that headline, Simone?
Simone's not with us. She's hiding under the table here.
It happens to the best of us. It's
not even
good.
Lying. She is legit under the table right
now.
It's
all good. It's all good.
Now, I'm working on a bunch of things right now because I'm going on vacation, so I'm not giving my full everything, and I apologize for that.
I was just going to say, JJ didn't have his mic on.
Check.
But don't John Fisher us.
Yeah. Okay,
come on,
I won't.
John Fisher.
Mic check. Mic check.
I'm back.
Don't do that.
It was Brian Harmon, too, was the name that got her.
I'll say
I didn't
it.
Know
Brian
what the hell she was trying
Harmon.
To say.
Brian Harmon. Smart. These girls smart. Play your part. Play your part.